and the promise of our future bodily resurrection. By Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we are now resurrected from our sins, but we await the future bodily resurrection. Christ's resurrection is the guarantee of that bodily one. So resurrection life is all around us and ultimately flows from or points to the resurrection of Jesus. I want to help you today see resurrection life in many places, in creation, throughout the scriptures, and our justification, and in sanctification, the stories of our lives. And this last point is my particular emphasis today, that we have resurrection stories and we need to tell them. So I'll say that again. We have resurrection stories and we need to tell them. I'll use Psalm 71 to illustrate this and finish with a resurrection story of my own, the birth of my daughter Tovia 10 years ago yesterday. I'll come back to Psalm 71 in a minute, and so you can keep your handouts. We can refer to that in a minute. So to begin, I want to show you where you can find resurrection life all around us. Here's what I want you guys to tune into. Think death and resurrection, or death to life, trouble to deliverance, sorrow to joy, from the pit to standing on firm ground, slaves to free, old to new life. Think of resurrection as reviving, restoring, or healing what is broken. It's bringing up out of literal or a figurative pit, or simply put, it's God doing the impossible. So, resurrection and creation. God created the world with the theme of resurrection built in. We see this every day and every year. There are seasons. The deadness of winter turns into the greenness of spring eventually. And we see it in our daily rhythms. Every night we lay down in bed and we pull the covers over our bodies and sleep. And sometimes in the Bible, death is called sleep. And we awake in the morning for a new day. The sun sets and we're in darkness, and the sun rises with light. And our limitless God, I've thought of this, he sees a perpetual sunset and sunrise. If you think about that, he sees death and resurrection perpetually in his creation. Our stomachs are empty several times a day, and God fills them with food. We see it in the birth of human beings, labor and pain that turns to rejoicing and joy. We see it in agriculture, how a seed must be going into the ground and die before it grows and produces food to feed and beautify. And so the list could go on. You can see it in creation. Resurrection themes show up throughout the scriptures. And with our Bible reading plan this year, we should be very familiar with these and have them very fresh in our minds. So I'll go through a list just to show you throughout the scriptures. So in Adam, he goes to sleep not good. And he wakes with Eve, which is very good. The flood of Noah's day destroys the entire earth, but God preserves and keeps 8 men and animals alive with him to begin a new world. Joseph is one of my favorite stories. I was just reading it with 5th graders over at Logos this week and was reminded of it. But he's thrown into a pit by his brothers and is raised to Prince of Egypt and is the salvation of his wicked brothers, all his family, and the land. God delivers the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt with mighty signs and a strong deliverance that defines the Israelites for all of history as an Exodus people. And Job, we've just been reading Job together. We know that story very well. He was brought low with the loss of his children and his friends and his wealth, and then he was raised again, and God says, "The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning." That's a death and resurrection. David is delivered many times from his enemies and says in Psalm 40, He also brought me out of the pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Daniel in the lion's den. Esther being used at such a time as this to save the Israelites, or by then they're being called the Jews, but to save the people from annihilation. And think about the theme of barrenness in Scripture. God, I lost my place here. Barren wombs are a picture of us and our sin. So God has these empty wombs, and after periods of waiting or supplication, these wombs are filled with sons who fulfill God's promises and bring deliverance to his people. So like I said, they're a picture of us and our sin, empty and incapable of bringing forth any life on our own. There's a long list of these women. In the Old Testament, there's Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca, Hannah, and the wife of Manoah, who is Samson's mom. In the New Testament are Elizabeth and Mary, one old and one a virgin. And the angel said in Luke 1:37, in response to both of these pregnancies, "For with God nothing will be impossible." It's just like us in our sins. It's impossible for us to make ourselves alive, but God is able to do the impossible. Then, of course, the New Testament writers are constantly speaking of Christ's resurrection, and we watch the persecuted church grow and spread. And I hope you see now that this resurrection theme is throughout the entire narrative of the Bible, from beginning to end. It's a whole story of God creating the world and us being separated from him. And it's the whole story of him bringing us back to himself and reconciling us to himself. So you can see it in the larger narrative, and you can also see it in the smaller one too. So resurrection and our justification. Our conversion from sin is described as a resurrection. I'm going to read to you Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So what died with Christ? It's our old self, and it's our body ruled by sin. And what is our resurrection life? It's called here a new life, where we are set free from our sins." Or Ephesians 1 just says it simply, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." So it's in our justification. From the moment of our conversion, which is our justification before God, and until our death, we live a life of sanctification. And what does this resurrection life look like in our sanctification? I thought Colossians 3 provided a really good, straightforward and exhaustive list of what I think resurrection life looks like. So I'm going to read it to you, and I'm just going to read the parts of what we're supposed to put on. It's saying we're supposed to put on and put off. So it begins, it clearly says, "If then you have been raised with Christ," so if you are living a resurrection life, "we seek things above. As a new man, we put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, putting on love above all, letting the peace of God rule in your hearts, being thankful, letting the word of God dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing in psalms and hymns, singing with grace in our hearts, and whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks." It's a pretty good long list there. And so to come to Psalm 71 here, I believe Psalm 71 shows us our resurrection life. And this is what I want to urge you to do. As I said at the beginning, we need to be a people who speaks and tells our resurrection stories that show up in our own lives. We all have resurrection stories, our conversions at the very least. You as a group have done a really good job at sharing those. I've heard many of your testimonies at the Thrive. And that's one application of what I'm talking about. But resurrection stories can be seen throughout our lives, just as they can be seen throughout creation and the scriptures and our justification. And Pastor Sumter says, if you don't think you have them, you aren't looking for them. So some will be small and some will be big, but we all have them. And our life of sanctification is a life of telling our resurrection stories. So I want to read Psalm 71 and have you listen for two things as I read it. First, I would like you to listen to all the words that have to do with telling. So, speaking or using your mouth. And second, I want you to just listen for the resurrection theme. It'll be obvious. So, it's on your handout here. "But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go on the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side." Oh, did it get cut off? Sorry about that. I didn't notice that. So yeah, that last line, "you shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side." So observations from this psalm, these words of telling are in here. I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness. When? All the day. I declare your wondrous works. I declare your strength to this generation. I will make mention of your righteousness. So there's many times you can see this mentioned over and over again. Notice in verse 15, there are no limits. My mouth shall tell of your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. God's salvation is limitless, and so our resurrection stories are limitless too. We all can have plenty of resurrection stories to tell. Matthew Henry says, I liked his quote here on his commentary on the psalm, says, when we have said all we can to the glory of God's grace, there's still more to be said. It is a subject that can never be exhausted, and therefore we should never grow weary of it. So it says from, going back to the psalm, it says from youth to now with gray hair, so God is in our stories, all of our lives, from young to old, and to the gray-headed. He mentions the gray-headed. The psalmist wants to declare to the next generation. And here are some interesting thoughts about the generations I think that are represented in this room. We have grandmothers in here, and we have those of us who wish to be grandmothers in the next decade. And I know that might sound fun because I look so young, but I was just over at Logos studying the seniors, which, by the way, were just such a fun group to teach. I was very impressed with them. I was studying for Toby, and I was inquisitive with them about what their plans were for next year and I actually asked them what their 10-year plan was, and I told them, I said, do you know what I want to do in 10 years, what I want to be? And I said, I'm a grandma. And they thought that was pretty funny. But I did realize in 10 years, my son will be the age I was when I had him. And so 10 years isn't that long. It really isn't. And some of you here with teenagers are even closer to that than me. So I want to know, are we doing this? How are we declaring his strength to the next generation, his power to everyone who is to come? And how can great grandmas to be help us, grandmas to be, learn to do this? May we be this kind of women that passes this on to the next generation. Matthew Henry also said another quote about this, about the gray-headed here. The longer we live, the more expert we should grow in praising God, and the more we should abound in it. May we be this kind of women. And so the resurrection theme that I told you to look for is very obvious. It's right there in 20 and 21, although you guys don't have 21. But our God is a God who shows us great and severe troubles and then revives us and brings us up and comforts us on every side. It's a thorough and it's a surrounding comfort. This resurrection God, who has done great things, is who the psalmist wants to mention, speak of, and declare to the next generation. So now, I want to speak to you one of my resurrection stories that I love to tell and retell, and many of you probably know it already, thank you for hearing it again, and I think many of you walked us through, knew us when we were walking through it. So just earlier in Psalm 71, I don't have it printed for you, but it says, I think very appropriately, by you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. So this is the story of Toby and Anne, our resurrection child, and may my praise be continually of God. So I'm going to give you an overview of our story from start to finish before I kind of pull back and make some particular applications. I want you to see the whole picture of what happened with us. So Tobia was born in Greenville, South Carolina, 10 years ago exactly from yesterday on March 23rd, 2008, which was Easter Sunday. She was 31 weeks, 2 days gestation, and she was 2 pounds, 2 ounces, and just over 13 inches long. Toby was pastoring a small church plant in South Carolina while going to seminary. River, my oldest son, was 3, and Felicity was just 1.5, and we lived in a very small 2-bedroom apartment. We were pregnant with twins, and we found out at 9 weeks. And then at 20 weeks, we found out that one of our daughters had died. I didn't suspect this at all. I was measuring very far ahead and still felt movement. So it was quite a surprise to us when we went in. We immediately faced uncertainty about Tovia's well-being, and were told very straight from my doctor, prepare yourself, she may not survive. We were sent to a maternal fetal specialist who was supposed to help us in the middle of our now high-risk pregnancy. And this was Dr. Maybe, who was the one who asked us 3 times to abort her. It was Dr. Maybe who said this, and he painted a bleak picture for us of her health, and he looked at me like I was an idiot and a fool of a mother to wish to carry Tovia because she could possibly have disabilities. So at that 20-week ultrasound, Dr. Maybe, this is what he told us. He said, the placentas refused together, so there could be a vascular connection such that Tovia could have any manner of disability from toxins being transferred from the dead baby to her. They saw other uncertain things in the ultrasound that could be an indication of cytomegalovirus, cystic fibrosis, or Down syndrome. She was showing signs of delay in her growth. She was 2 weeks behind in her size when we saw her at 20 weeks. And so God was piling up troubles in Tovia's little body. We quickly found a better doctor. We left Dr. Maybe very quickly. His name was Dr. Greg, who provided excellent care for us for the rest of the pregnancy. So just a little later that spring, I became severely ill with preeclampsia, such that I was on bed rest and then hospitalized around 29 weeks gestation. It was a waiting game. How long could I be sustained through the sickness so that the baby could have longer to grow? Every day counted and helped Tovia. On the morning of Easter Sunday, I had just a routine non-stress test in my hospital room, and the nurse caught that Tovia was in distress. Her heart rate was dropping, and my OBGYN came in to perform the surgery. It was time to deliver. And he walked in on crutches, and this was sort of amusing and odd in the middle of all of this. I said, are you going to deliver my baby on crutches? And he said, yeah, I'll just put my foot on the table. I said, my table? So I think God has a funny sense of humor here. So this doctor delivered my 2-pound baby on one foot. And I remember him holding her up over the blue cloth for me to see her tiny face. It was Easter Sunday, and what a happy deliverance. And so even in that delivery, we had a close call. My doctor shook his head after he delivered her and said she should have been delivered hours before, as my placenta was partially abrupted, which was causing the distress. So I feel like even in that delivery, we had a close call, and God's mercy was close on us there. So she was born, but my health and Tovia's continued in jeopardy after the delivery. We weren't done. The preeclampsia that I had required me to have magnesium sulfate administered, and the day after that, so that means that 10 years ago today, was probably the most compromised my health has ever been in. And so here I am speaking of this to you today. It's wonderful, resurrection life here. I don't want to go into the details of preeclampsia. I think there's probably pregnant women in here. And so, but just know that it's dangerous, and there's fatal complications from it. And so God took care of me through that. So I was on this magnesium sulfate, and I had disconnected in my mind somehow that I had a living baby to hope for. I was just sick. This certainly was a pit or severe trouble to face. Yet, God sustained my life, and here I am. So as for Tovia, she had to be transported to a higher level NICU to be cared for than what we could offer her there. And she continued there for 7 weeks. Thankfully, things quickly settled down for both of us within the first couple of weeks. The 7 weeks in NICU came with enormous bills rolling in. I think we had, it was about $250,000 charged to insurance, racked up in just 7 weeks' time. And we had to bury our daughter that didn't survive. They were born together on Easter Sunday, and it was appropriately Toby's first funeral that he did was for our own child. And many transitions were coming on the horizon. A graduation from seminary, which I didn't even know if we were going to make it through. She came at midterms, and he did. He made it through with straight A's, and I went to his graduation. He had 3 honors, and so that was just a tremendous blessing there. And then we moved across the country in our little blue minivan that we still have, with an 8-pound, immune-compromised 4-month-old and 2 other young children back to Idaho to take on a job with big responsibilities. So it was a trial that kept unfolding and growing over the course of many months. But it was also a deliverance that kept unfolding and growing over the course of those months too, until we were finally all home together once again with a wondrous story to share for the rest of our lives. So the overall story of Tovia is rather dramatic and big, and I want you to look for those resurrection stories in your lives too. I know many women in here, I know you have them. I know them, and they may be even more dramatic than mine. But I also don't want you to miss looking for the small ones too. So what I want to do is I want to walk back through our troubles surrounding the birth of Tovia and describe the more subtle resurrection themes, and hopefully this will help you see how to recognize them in your life too. So I believe you can see resurrection life in several places. So I've made my own list. This is just my own list where I could kind of group them together in my mind. The joy of answered prayers, in God's timely hand of providence, in God's provision for our needs, in the simple refreshment from family and friends, and in God's tender mercies in your life. So let me walk you through this. So resurrection stories and the joy of answered prayer. This is resurrection life. We cry to God when we need help, and he hears us. Certainly all of us here know the joys of answered prayer. What are they? Sometimes I marvel when God does answer my humble prayers, and I'm tempted to think what a godly person I am. But then I remind myself that when we pray in Jesus' name, that he's not looking on us, but he's looking on his son, and so he's going to hear us for his son's sake. What a humbling thing, and yet it still makes us very bold to ask. God also tends to answer my prayers, and I wonder if he does this for you too, in unexpected ways. Odd things happen, or new trials come, and you later realize that he was answering your requests in better ways than what you had in mind. For example, one answered prayer for my story of Tovia is how we ask that God prepare us for the call to Trinity Reformed Church before this trial of a pregnancy and birth erupted. We asked God to equip us for ministry, and he promptly got to work. We learned to trust God through a trial and comprehend one day at a time. We learned how to experience loss and grieve over a loved one. We learned how to receive comfort and to give it, and yet sometimes, I'll still be honest, I still say and do the wrong thing, even though I went through this. We knew what it was to have extended hospital experiences with the burden of those bills and sorting through them. It's like a part-time job going through all the insurance glitches. These are all experiences that help equip us for serving other saints in the ministry, and I trust still help us now. So as far as God hearing our prayers, God heard my weakest and simplest of prayers. I don't think your prayers need to be always very elaborate, but earnest. And so my weakest and simplest of prayers, I have just a story from Toby's birth about this. So in the days after delivery, while in that dark place on the magnesium sulfate, it was very dark for me. And I don't even recall praying to God at first. I don't remember praying. Our neonatologist came in and decided to move Tovia across town to a higher level NICU. But I hadn't gotten out of bed yet to see her. So I'd still been in bed, and it had been 3 days since the last time that I'd seen her, or since that I'd gotten out of bed. And I begged them, if they're going to drive her across town, they should at least roll her past my bed. And they did. So I reached out my hand and I touched her. And it was like I woke up. Suddenly I had a baby and I needed to get out of there. And my prayer in my weakness just became very repetitious and very simple. And all it was Jesus help me. And that's all I remember just praying in that bed. Jesus help me. Jesus help me. And he did. And just a few days later, I was home. I got to be home. I got to go home and be ready to press on. So God can hear your earnest and simple groanings of prayers. So do you remember big or little prayers that God has answered in your life? These are your resurrection stories to share. There were many particular dates. Oh, hold on. I lost the time. Let me give you the title of it. So the next one I want to look at is Resurrection Stories in the Timely Providences of God. So there are many particular dates and details in my story that show God's hand of providence was clearly upon us, and it felt like we were walking through a carefully choreographed story, because we truly were. No part was an accident. So maybe you won't have the dates line up quite like this that I had, but I think if you look for them, I think you might, but at least you can look for the details that only God can orchestrate. So of course the most obvious one is that Tovia was born on Easter Sunday. I couldn't have planned that. He knew that from the beginning. So one providence that's connected to that was in the naming of the daughter that we lost. We decided as soon as we knew we lost her in January to go ahead and name her, and we named her Anastasia Ruth, which means resurrection and friend. Ruth is after her Aunt Molly over here and a grandmother. And so we named her Anastasia Ruth, and we didn't know when we named her in January that our twins would be born together on Easter resurrection. We couldn't have known that. So what a tremendous comfort to see God's hand so clearly in this providence, not only that the delivery was on Easter, but that the name fit before we even knew that it would. And so to finish off the wild hospital roller coaster ride, God sent Tovia home on my birthday. We brought Tovia home at 4 pounds, 1 ounce on May 8th, which was my 28th birthday. And so it was the best birthday present I ever received. Another example is right here and now in this moment. What a providential and wonderful gift from a kind Savior to allow me to remember Tovia's story exactly 10 years. And you've given me a microphone to declare this and do this. Only God can do this. So have you noticed God's special timing of events in your life? This is your resurrection story. Resurrection stories are in provision. He took us from that terrible doctor, maybe, and delivered us to a faithful and godly doctor. After our visits with Dr. Maybe, remember, the doctor asked us to abort her. We needed a new doctor to walk us through the pregnancy, who we trusted. So we transferred to the Baptist Dr. Gregg in the Catholic hospital system, and Dr. Gregg prayed with us multiple times, and he saw us through all the way to delivery. And remember those big hospital bills? They were all covered within the first year. God provided everything that we needed for that. God filled our empty stomachs with good food. Ladies, there was a Chick-fil-A in the hospital. If you know me, you know that's important to me. So, and there was also this other store around the corner from our apartment that was a really nice catering company. And Toby would go and use their storefront restaurant area as his office or study while he was in seminary and had no other office to do. And they were very generous to us. And so they provided meals for us, and if that wasn't generous enough, they gave us far more than what we paid for. We purchased meals from them, and then they gave us far more than what we paid for to pick up every week. And they also introduced us to cheesy grits. Came back from the South with a love of grits. So how has God provided for you? The next thing is God sent family and friends to come refresh, comfort, and help us along the way. My mom, she's sitting over here, she came to encourage us. Grandma Libby Jackson came from Idaho and moved in with us for 10 weeks. We couldn't have done it without her. There's nothing like a faithful mom and grandma in the middle of trouble. She came in just enough time before my hospitalization to sort through my refrigerator and know what was good and what was bad, and to get a very quick rundown of the kids' routines. She slept in a bunk bed next to two early rising toddlers and watched more Winnie the Pooh than anyone ever should. She made muffins every Sunday to make Sabbath sweet. And she switched duties with Toby after my delivery for a bit and came to be with me in the hospital by my side to help me. And a little story I got to tell at dinner last night to Casey is around 8 weeks into it, it finally dawned on me that Mom might need to leave the house. She might need to get out. And so 8 weeks into this, I said, do you need to leave? Would you like a break? And she said, yes. Yes, I would. And so we arranged it so she could have her van just so she could go out and have some Chick-fil-A and go shopping and just be by herself without my kids. And I remember that day I got a phone call just as she's sitting in the chair with her purse and she's ready to go. And I got a phone call from one of my neighbors who had a lot of children. And she says, Jenny, I don't have anything for dinner. Can I borrow your car to go out? And I looked at my mom and I said, no, I'm sorry. The car is not available. She actually took our smaller Subaru, our little car, instead. So, but Grandma was there. She really hauled it for us. We couldn't have done it without her. So who's your mother? Literal or spiritual mothers that at times can bring resurrection life to you. And what about fathers? My father-in-law came to stay with us during our NICU days. In God's providence, he was in Atlanta for church business. So he drove up the 2 hours to see us. He was the first one to drag me to the hospital, finally, to see Tovia across town in the NICU. And because we were moving, and he used to be a help pack moving trucks, he packed up all our earthly possessions very well into the moving truck, or to get them ready for the moving truck. And so not to mention my own dad, who was living then, he came, I think, mostly to redeem his much-missed wife. But he came too. He was there too. Brothers and sisters. Who are your brothers and sisters? Jesse and Kate. She's here right now. They came and drove our moving truck across the country. I don't think it was quite the second honeymoon that we pitched it as. But it was a tremendous gift to us. It was a tremendous gift to us in that time. Our elders from church came when I was in the hospital and very sick. They anointed me with oil and prayed over me. The saints at our South Carolina church did an excellent job. It was a very small church, but they did an excellent job helping, as well as many of you back in Idaho who knew us then. We were flooded with meals, encouraging cards and emails, help with the kids, financial gifts, so we could have meals provided for us. I think a simple visit from a friend can bring resurrection life and refreshment. We couldn't introduce Tovia to many people because she's in the NICU, and that's one of the joys of having your baby. You call and you want your friends to come see her, and we couldn't share her with anybody. So one day I was able to get an older elder's wife from my church named Rebecca Cornaroli. She just came with me, and she sat with me for just an hour to meet Tovia, little 3-pound Tovia then, you know, and hold her and talk to her and delight in my child, and it was a sweet gift. God sent a special NICU nurse to me to comfort me. Nurse Nancy was there to greet me the first time I went to the NICU to see Tovia. And I walked in, I was pretty sure she was just going to die. I didn't know what they could do for 2-pound babies. And so Nancy was there, Nurse Nancy. She was very short, and she had a thick Southern accent because we were in the South. And she looked up at me and said, "Go home, honey, and rest. Your baby is going to be just fine. Do you want to see the whoppers? The one pound baby's over here. Your daughter's a whopper." And she was right. She was right. So have family or friends, but a special encouragement to you, refresh you at particularly significant moments in your life. This is your resurrection story too. And so finally, resurrection stories are in tender mercies from God. One evening, Nurse Nancy had a bath and a warming light prepared when I arrived because she knew I didn't like Tovia's hospital smell. And so we carefully gave 3-pound Tovia a sponge bath that night. So stinky baby to clean baby. And what a tender mercy just in a sponge bath. Kangaroo care. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this and know about kangaroo care. This was new to me. It's supposed to be good for babies when mothers hold them skin to skin on their chests, you know, to help regulate breathing and temperature and bonding. And I think in third world countries, that is NICU, is, you know, someone holding your baby on you to do all that instead of an incubator. And so I hadn't gotten to touch Tovia, hardly. You don't touch a 2-pound baby. You don't hold a 2-pound baby. It's too stressful for them. And so because of this, I didn't realize how much emotion I had been holding back, wanting to connect with her as my daughter. She was sick. We weren't sure. And so when I held her for the first time, just this wave of emotion kind of came out, touching her, just holding her right here on my chest. And she suddenly felt like my daughter. So just touch, just this tender mercy. And about the kangaroo care, I also learned that the strict nurses who wouldn't let me take her out for very long would let me hold her as long as I wanted to if I was kangarooing her, because there's no research out there that says kangaroo care is ever bad. And so I'd say, yep, I'm just kangarooing now. So I could hold her as long as I wanted to. And so I'd go back, and that was what I would do with her in the NICU. I'd go there, and I'd sit, and I'd hold her. So can you remember little mercies in your life? And these are resurrection stories, too. And this is where I'm going to stop. I hope you're encouraged by my resurrection story, and I urge you to start learning to look for yours in big and small stories and telling them to the next generation. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for giving us resurrection stories all around us. Help us all to learn to have eyes to see them and willing mouths to tell them. Thank you for the resurrection of your Son and what that means for us, that we are alive and that we belong to you. Please bless our Easter preparations this coming week, and may you be glorified. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, and amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jenny. Wonderful. All right. We're going to jump to the last one. So if you guys want to stand up, we're going to sing "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." It's on the back of your sheets.